Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It is the tradition here in St. Louis. It's the two-hour show that just gets you away from everything and celebrates sports. We are so glad that you spend your mornings with us. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Great to be with you. Tom Ackerman indeed here and here for 2 hours. Here's what we're going to do today. So generally we have Chiefs football on KMOX. You all know that. We carry the Chiefs. We carry them and they play at noon today with an 11 o'clock pregame. But we're going to continue on Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 FM today for 2 hours, and then get ready for Billiken basketball at 1:45. If you want to listen to the Chiefs, those of you listening on 11:20 a.m., it will continue on as usual. It'll go on to the Chiefs for the pregame and a noon kickoff. But 104.1 FM, which a lot of people have started to switch over to, and for that matter, the Odyssey app. A lot of people are listening on the app and their smart speakers and whatnot. But KMOX 104.1 FM, we are going to continue on with sports on a Sunday morning. So we'll do a two-hour show. So again, Chiefs for the folks on 11:20 a.m., if you want to listen to it there. If you want to continue on with us, join us at 104.1 FM. Might as well just click over now to 104.1 FM. We're everywhere. We're all over the St. Louis area. And as I mentioned, we're on the Odyssey app, KMOX.com. Drew, we're also on YouTube and X and Facebook. Appreciate you putting us up on the live stream. Here we are. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Studio B. So here's what we got for you. The Chiefs are playing today. They're out of the race. I mean, look, that's... And they don't have Patrick Mahomes anymore. The NFL race is very, very interesting right now because of what happened yesterday. This is an unbelievable game that I'm so glad I tuned into last night, or I wouldn't be able to describe it properly. It was an absolute jaw-dropper last night, what happened in Chicago between the Bears and the Green Bay Packers. The Packers were up by 10 points with not a lot of time left in the fourth quarter. the Packers were dominating this game, and they were doing it without Jordan Love, who was knocked out with a concussion. But their defense absolutely showed up. And with the Bears trying to make something happen with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's right. The Packers are up by 10 points with 5 minutes to go. It looks like they're in an excellent position, and they were. But the Bears drove down the field, and they got a 43-yard field goal to cut it to 7. Then they attempt an onside kick, and they recover it. So the Bears have the ball with a minute 56 to go, down by a touchdown. Caleb Williams brings them all the way down to the 6-yard line where he's facing a fourth down. And he throws a fourth down pass. This is the last chance for them. In the air, back right corner of the end zone. Somehow the Packers leave Jahdae Walker wide open. The throw is as if there was a defensive back on his back. And he makes the leaping grab and gets his feet in bounds in the back right corner of the end zone for a touchdown. Now, some people were hoping the Bears would go for two and end it right there. They decide, let's kick the extra point and deal with overtime. It's exactly what they did. They make it, and it's a 16-16 game going to OT. Now, without Jordan Love, Malik Willis, the backup quarterback for the Packers, who had a touchdown pass earlier in this game, this can happen even at the highest level of football, a fumbled exchange. And it is what happened on a 4th-and-1 at the Chicago 36. Green Bay had to go for it on 4th-and-1. That's too long of a field goal to try with the wind whipping like it was. And Willis fumbled the snap. Emmanuel Wilson pounced on the ball for the Bears, and Chicago was in business. They had it at their own 36-yard line. And the Bears drive down the field, DeAndre Swift on a 2nd-and-10, a 7-yard run, and then a run for an 11-yard gain gets them into Green Bay territory at the 46-yard line. Are they going to keep pushing the chains? Are they going to line up this game-winning field goal? All they need is a score to win the game against the Packers. No, they're going to go for it all. The call on Fox from Kevin Burkhart.
On the fake, Williams. Looking downfield, launching downfield, going for it all! It is caught! Bears win it! DJ Moore!
An absolutely perfect throw from Caleb Williams. You could not place it any better. And a great catch to hang on by DJ Moore with a defender all over him. He falls into the end zone and collapses on his back and stretches his arms out, and the game is over. The Bears win a thriller at home in overtime, 22-16. How does that affect the standings? Well, they go up a game and a half on the Packers in the NFC North, and with that, they await the Pittsburgh-Detroit game this afternoon at 3:25. If the Steelers win that game on CBS, the Bears are officially in the playoffs, but boy, are they in a great spot right now. How about this? Going back 37 games against the Packers, that takes you back quite a while. They are 7-30 against Green Bay, including a loss at Lambeau a couple of weeks ago. But the Bears win this one 22-16. That was just an absolutely phenomenal game. Philadelphia beat Washington 29-18. So the Eagles are in charge right now in the NFC East. They've won the division. All three of the teams in the East are out. Dallas, Washington, and the Giants. Minnesota, Atlanta, New Orleans, Arizona are all out. And we await the South champion, either Tampa Bay or Carolina. They're both 7-7. Chicago, Green Bay, and I mentioned Detroit at 8-6. And then Seattle and the Rams leading the West with San Francisco right behind them at 10-4. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll sort through the college football playoff. NFL had the day yesterday. Their games were better than the playoff games, but one in particular has the attention of my colleague Kevin Wheeler. The Miami Hurricane joins us next on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Chris Raji was a happy man yesterday. Enjoyed texting with him at the end of that Bears game, a win over the Packers that I just went through for you. And on top of that, his Illinois State Redbirds won. They're going to the FCS National Championship. Congratulations to Brock Spack and the Illinois State Redbirds. They are headed to a national championship in FCS, where they will take on Montana State. Illinois State beat Villanova in Philadelphia 30-14. They're road warriors. They love playing on the road. They win on the road. Joining us on the line, a man who's going to watch his team play in a neutral site after winning on the road, it's Kevin Wheeler. The Miami alum saw the Hurricanes win yesterday 10-3 at Texas A&M. What a time that was, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, man, especially after that. It's been a long time since they've actually done anything, so it's kind of fun to have them back in the mix.
Yeah, two things happen there. Texas A&M misses a huge chance to defend its home turf. I mean, that is just, wow, how do you let that happen, as well as Oklahoma? We'll get to that in just a minute. But also, Miami represents the ACC and proves that they belonged in the playoff. The two teams that beat Notre Dame were going at it yesterday, and Miami wins 10-3, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think there was any question about their viability, but, you know, the committee had it reversed for so long, and it never made any sense. I never thought there was a week during the season that Notre Dame should have been ahead of Miami. They never had a better record, and they lost to them. And there's too much throughout the year of that up and down. I would hope, Tom, that part will change a little bit. You know what the narrative was with your Hoosiers last year. And, you know, those narratives are written a lot by preseason expectations. And then, you know, as you go through the year, you know, they're trusting, I think, the committees end up trusting their eyeballs a little bit more than they trust resumes. And then when their eyeballs are wrong, they look foolish and they have to go back and change the criteria. But I think, you know, and I think there were several teams, not just Notre Dame, but several others that could have been in this and been quality playoff caliber teams. Vanderbilt was that good. I think Texas was that good, but, you know, with three losses, you're not going to be there in their scenario because they weren't in a conference title game. But I don't know that this year is very predictable. It's been an odd year to me. I've never seen a big gap, not record. I can see the difference in the records, but in terms of watching the teams, I feel like anything can happen. We've seen that these first two games. You had favored home teams in the first two playoff games go down.
Yeah, you did. And I agree with you. I mean, I think now that you have JMU and Tulane out, although I think Oregon's a little ticked off that they let so many points go in that second half against JMU, but they dominated the football game. Now you have eight really good teams in there. How did Miami do it? How did they shut down the Aggies and get this win, in your estimation?
Well, I mean, obviously defense, because they missed several opportunities, right? I mean, they missed three field goals in the game. and Texas A&M had their own problems, right? It was just an ugly slugfest, right? Both teams are strong defensively. Neither quarterback played very well. Both teams had special teams problems. A&M missed an early field goal and had a couple of punt problems. They had the one punt that was blocked because the punter just dropped the ball. And then you had, a big punt return against them. Their special teams, and actually really special teams, were awful in this game, except for a couple of good returns on each side. But you had a lot of just ugliness. But I think a lot of the ugliness, Tom, was because the defenses are good. And you know, last year Miami's defense was one of the worst in the country. They were awful. They were constantly aligned incorrectly. They were constantly kind of like heads looking over at the sideline as the ball's being snapped. They were missing tackles, blowing coverages. And, you know, Cody Heatherman came in from Minnesota to be the new defensive coordinator and changed everything. I mean, they're a top six, top seven defense, and they're particularly strong against the run. And, you know, when you can do that and have pass rushers that are high draft picks, I mean, you know, Bain is going to be, I would think, a top 5-10 pick as a potential. He could be anything, Tom. He could be a pass rushing interior guy like Aaron Donald was. Not saying that good. Nobody's going to be that good. But that kind of player, he could play a 3-4 end. He could play a 4-3 end. He's really phenomenal. And on the opposite side, Akeem Mesidor is going to be a high draft pick as well, maybe even a first rounder. So you've got two guys that can really get after the quarterback, and they're at their best when they don't have to bring extra numbers to try to get to the quarterback. And obviously they had a good time with that in the second half yesterday. So, you know, when you combine being pretty good against the run and having two of the best pass rushers in the country on the line at the same time, they're a tough team to get. In fact, when they've given up points, a lot of times it's been the offense putting them in bad field position. You know, Carson Beck had, what, the 4-interception game earlier in the year in the loss, in one of their losses. So, that, you know, they've usually been good defensively even when they've lost. It's just a matter of whether or not the offense can be consistent enough.
Pal, you don't need my help, but if you want, I can give you a few tips on how to beat Ohio State. Indiana pulled that off a couple weeks ago, 13-10. It'll be a good game, but Ohio State is kind of in the same situation they were last year, where they lost a game, it stuck in their craw, and now they're going to be out to prove that they have the best team in the country, and they do have the best roster in the country. It's just a matter of getting it done for 60 minutes.
Yeah, completely agree. They're super talented. You know, they're in it again after winning it. So, you know, that they're still the top dog that everybody has to take down. I'm not sure that they're as strong at quarterback as they were. Although I think Stan's really good. He's just very young. And that, to me, that's how you get them. To me, if you're going to get them, it's kind of what you guys did. I think your guys laid out the game plan, and you've got to be able to control the running game to a degree. You've got to be able to confuse them a little bit. And give Sain some looks and put pressure on him without having to, you know, bring too much extra, as I was talking about earlier. Way easier said than done, by the way. Like, that's, I mean, in theory, all of these things are simple. In execution is where the difficulty comes in.
If you look at Indiana-Alabama, I think from an Indiana perspective, it's very enticing because it's an opportunity once again to beat a marquee blue blood team.
Yeah.
But I mean, just overall, if you're looking X's and O's, Alabama does not run the ball very well. They were only 2 of 12 on third down in that game against Oklahoma. You just got to be careful not to make mistakes because they have super athletes. I mean, they have 5 stars all over the place. So you just got to execute the game plan. I think IU can get that job done.
I do too. I think they're the more buttoned down team. And, you know, Alabama's uncharacteristically loose this year. They make more mistakes than usual. You know, Ty Simpson has moments where he looks like he's the best quarterback in college football, and then he just kind of disappears. And, you know, I haven't seen that dynamic from Mendoza at all. So I think that, you know, you've got an edge at quarterback for sure. And, yeah, they have the edge in terms of 4- and 5-star players. They're always going to. But as you pointed out, they haven't run it well. And that's, you know, look, I know some of that is who you're playing. You played a lot of time. I mean, Oklahoma is a really good defensive team. Mm. And I think what's interesting in the first round, and it ties into what we expect moving forward, I think, is that the two teams that lost that were the home favorites, Texas A&M and Oklahoma, just don't have good passing games. They're just not. I mean, you know, Reed and Mateer are very gifted, and they're dual threats. But if you take away the easy run right away, if you keep them in the pocket, they're just not that great. They're not that accurate. And I don't think that advantage exists moving forward for teams like Alabama and Miami. Because when you look at the guys that are playing quarterback now, they're either both mobile and good passers, or they're incredibly good passers.
The other two games, Oregon and Texas Tech, I think is a really, really nice matchup, fun game. Texas Tech's kind of the unknown. Not a lot of people have seen enough of them. They are really talented. And then, of course, the SEC rematch of Georgia and Ole Miss. Georgia beating the last time around 43-35. I don't know, man. Georgia's defense is so good. I think they could – Ole Miss could give them a game maybe for a couple of quarters, but Georgia looks phenomenal right now.
Yeah, I think that's the game, Tom, where we're going to see the difference in the coaching staff leaving Ole Miss to go to LSU. You're not going to see it in the game we saw yesterday, right? You're just not going to notice that against Tulane. Tulane doesn't have the athletes to keep up with a big school like that. But obviously Georgia does. And I think that's the game where we're going to notice that difference. I love Georgia in that game. Not because of talent, but you know, with Lane Kiffin bolting and most of the staff being in Baton Rouge now, I just think that's a very disruptive thing going up against the top team that's there every year, a coaching staff that's there every year. And obviously Georgia's very talented on top of having all of the every year advantages. I'm really curious about Oregon and Texas Tech because at times, I think you'd agree with this, at times Tech has looked like the best team in the country. You know, they at times look phenomenal, but have they run the gauntlet like Oregon has? Have they faced the level of competition week in and week out that some of these other teams have? And that's not to say they can't win. I really do think they can. But I'm just not sure that what they've done matches up against Oregon running through a couple of the top teams in the Big Ten. You know, what Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, what those have run through. And it's not a knock that they can't win. It's not saying they don't deserve to be there. They 100% deserve the bye and deserve to be there. And they are very dangerous. But it's the question mark I have in the back of my head, because the Big 12 is just not that good.
No, I agree. And you know what? The committee ended up getting this thing right. I mean, you've got the two best conferences were the SEC and the Big Ten. They are each represented with three teams. The ACC got their best team in. Miami was the best team in the ACC. And then finally, the Big 12, they got their best team in. I mean, I think it's a great setup here.
It is. And look, I think all of us would agree that adding Notre Dame and Vandy, or Notre Dame and any of those other teams that were just there on the bubble, Texas, whoever, adding those teams instead of Tulane and James Madison would have made for better competition in yesterday's games. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, look, it's college sports. You do need to include everybody. And of course, you also need to include everybody, Tom, so you don't get faced with an antitrust lawsuit from the group of five teams.
Well, I mean, I obviously
that's why they do it.
Yeah, I mean, from an entertainment standpoint, of course, I want Notre Dame in there, and I want you know, another big school in there, and I want to be entertained. But like, I understand what you're saying in the other side of it too. And my daughter goes to Miami of Ohio. She asked me before the season. Yeah. She said, "We have zero chance at a playoff ever, right, Dad?" And I'm like, "Well, I mean, if you went undefeated and you were ranked in the top 20 out of the MAC, would be tough, but you got a shot." I mean, so it does, it like opens up that light at the end of the tunnel somewhat. I just don't know. I think there'll be a lot of pressure to change that rule.
I agree. I mean, I think the only way that the adjustment happens, Tom, is if they go to 16. That way you could still have two of them in and have, you know, four more deserving schools in there too. But I don't mind it. Again, I would mind it more, I'm sure, if I were a Notre Dame fan. I would mind it more if I were, you know, looking at the schedule that Texas played or the schedule that Vandy played and put up the record that they did. I think this is the hard part about college football. It's too big. There's no way that 135, 136 schools are at the same level. It's not basketball. Basketball is very different. You know, there are a lot of different ways to win basketball games. In fact, one of the things that some of the smaller schools and, you know, what we would call in football, the group of five schools, the mid majors in college basketball, one of the advantages they've had for years is they tend to have more continuity. You know, they tend to have juniors and seniors and experienced players instead of running freshmen out there all the time. And that gives them a little bit of a leveling of the playing field if they can execute their game plan. And in football, it's just so you could just see the physical difference yesterday. There's you know, the physical difference is just stunning. And in a perfect world, you would separate that into two different groups and have a playoff for both of them. And the way you have to do it, though, Tom, is the NCAA would have to make every effort to make the, quote, secondary playoff nearly as big a deal as far as payout money and TV deals, things like that. But I think we're a long way off from that.
Yeah. I mean, they have enough problem trying to sort out all the money that's being tossed to players and coaches leaving. It's nuts. Buddy, I appreciate you. Congrats on the Canes and good luck in the next round. And we'll see you on KMOX real soon.
All right. Same for your Hoosiers, man. Let's have a meeting in the national championship game. You and I, let's go.
Let's meet in Miami. I'd love that on January 19th. Take care of yourself, pal. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you, buddy.
Kevin Wheeler with us. Chris May, the director of athletics at St. Louis University, is next.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
This just in from ESPN's Pete Thamel. Michigan offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey is leaving to become the new offensive coordinator at Missouri. He has agreed to a 3-year deal and will be the Tigers play caller. Thamel reporting that Chip Lindsey's status for coaching in Michigan's bowl game remains in flux. Welcome back to the show, Sports on a Sunday Morning. We are joined by the director of athletics at St. Louis University, Chris May. They have a game today at 2 against New Hampshire. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Tom. How are we doing this morning?
Things are going great. By the way, speaking of Mizzou, now I grew up a Mizzou fan. I went to the Bragging Rights game every year, but I'm telling you, if I was at this game on Monday, and I know tomorrow night's going to be a big deal at Enterprise Center, I might elbow the person next to me and say, you know, the best basketball team in the state is probably up the street. I mean, it has been a phenomenal year for Josh Schertz's St. Louis Pelicans, Chris.
Well, it really has. It, and as you know, it, it has been a great 2025 for Josh. It you know, he got his feet wet in the A-10 last season, got into the NIT, ran into a buzzsaw, but it really started in April, and the practices that started June 2nd, and right now we're in as good a position as we could hope to be. Obviously, a lot of ball to be played, and we got a big one today, and then you know, we open up on December 31st in the A-10, where it really starts counting in our space. But you certainly feel great about where the program is and where the team is right now. Clearly being led by Robbie Avila's, just his leadership and his, how the team gets better when he's on the court is off the charts. And, you know, you go on down the line from how well Amari's got, how Amari McCautry's improved, and you throw in Trey Green, and Deion Brown is so electric. We've got a lot of pieces, and certainly, you know, not to be passed up and the great work that Kellen's doing. Kellen Thames has really worked on his conditioning and his body, and he is doing such a great job. So it's very exciting to be sitting here in December at number 20 in the net this morning, but a lot of ball to be played, but we feel great about it. And the other piece is, you can feel the energy in the community. You can feel the energy in Chaffetz Arena starting to come back, and every game there's a little bit more. And so there's a lot of excitement around our basketball team right now.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the net rankings right now. You're one notch behind North Carolina. I mean, I saw them yesterday. They looked, and they're being talked about as a Final Four contender. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned Missouri earlier, and a team like Missouri or a team in the SEC, they'll have a lot of chances to get quad one wins. You don't have a lot of those. So how do you view the season from that standpoint? How strong is the Atlantic 10 Conference? And obviously you just need to keep on chugging and keep on winning. But, you know, how much do you weigh the net and look at it throughout the year?
Well, the net's something you got to look at every day. The Atlantic 10 started out really well. A couple teams have struggled of late. But every time you go on the road and you're playing any A-10 team in the road, you got to look out. We open at St. Joe's, as you know, on New Year's Eve here, and we welcome everyone in St. Louis to start New Year's Eve at 3:00 in Chaffetz. But then we play St. Joe's, but then we go on the road to VCU, which is as hard a place in college basketball as there is to play. You got to go to VCU. You got to go to Dayton. You got to go to Loyola. Loyola, who struggled as of late, but had a big win yesterday at Santa Clara. And so they have a very talented team that struggled early, but they're going to be a tough out. So the Atlantic 10 is one of those tough deals where on any given night, you got to look out. And so, where we stand right now, we got to worry about ourselves. We got to take care of business as the Billikens, and we feel great about the position we're in, but there's a lot of ball to be played, and fortunately, there'll be a lot of eyeballs watching the Billikens all season, and that's what we work real hard towards, and that's what we focus on. And it's a testament to Josh and his staff and what they've been able to do to put this team together. But it's also a testament to their preparation. They, as you know, they prepare every game like it's the championship game, and they spend a lot of time in preparation. And I think that's part of the secret sauce to what he does, is his teams are prepared and they execute really well.
They're very entertaining too. And if that place is packed, I mean, it'll be deafening in there the way that they play. I mean, the entertaining aspect of this team is off the charts. So let me ask you, you've got this basketball tradition at SLU. You have a base of fans that know the game. I mean, they are some great diehard basketball fans that go to SLU games. You got a great student section. You got a world-class band. How do you get that casual sports fan to get those tickets and jump on? Do you think that happens as you keep on winning?
Well, I really do, and I think it's starting to happen already. You know, and we're going to have a decent crowd this afternoon. We're going to have a big crowd on New Year's Eve, which we're really fired up about. Let alone we play Principia, our Rust Buster, coming off of Christmas to make sure we're ready to go. But this community has rallied and showed up to every team that I've ever seen that wins here in town. And there's no reason to believe that we're not going to be in position to get a lot of W's this season. And so that's an exciting proposition. But you can see more and more new people coming into the arena, seeing this team, watching the way they play. you know, when you put up 100 points, you know, on a regular basis, that's an exciting thing to watch. But the way they do it, from having the defense set the offense up, going the other way, it's an exciting brand of college basketball that everybody who watches it that I've heard from is very excited to come back. So we welcome everybody starting at 2 o'clock today with the New Hampshire game to come take a look at this team, because they're an exciting group to watch.
And Chris, we can't talk to you without talking about soccer and how things wrapped for the men's team going to the College Cup, being one of the final four teams standing. And on top of that, the women's soccer team, while disappointing, it looks like they have hit that portal and they continue to reload. Both teams actually looking very bright for the future.
Well, first and foremost, we couldn't be more proud of what Kevin and the team did on that run to the College Cup. Lost a tough one against NC State, but the run they made really was fun to see how this community really was ignited and fired up to follow them and support them. We had a lot of people at the College Cup down in Raleigh, or Cary, I should say. But what Kevin did with his team and the local flair with the team, you know, you've got Tanner Anderson, who had the huge goal at Akron. You've got the freshman and Jack DeMaria and Nick Schramm. You've got Theo Franco, the other freshman. You just have a whole team of real connected young people with St. Louis and this region's flair. And Kevin just had a huge get in the portal yesterday. So the portal's been very, very good to Kevin, and Katie Shields and her group have hit the portal hard and have had some really great success in that as well. And even though we're licking our wounds with Katie, I mean, we forget real fast that we were 31 in the net. We're the lowest ranked team that didn't get into the NCAA tournament this year. And so she'll have that group back and rolling come fall. But it's an exciting time for our soccer program, and really our men are leading the way and did such an unbelievable job this year. And they're so young, they lose two starters, but the excitement of what that program looks like coming back next year is really exciting, and we to make another run to get back to the Cup and then finally get that 11th star.
And last quick thing, the SLU women's basketball team, after fighting through the first portion of their schedule, they're 4-1 in December. I mean, here you go.
Yeah, they had a really nice win yesterday, and they'll play next Sunday, and then they're back January 3rd. We're back. We get Davidson here in an Atlantic 10 home game. But Rebecca always has had a way of preparing her teams and getting them ready and getting them going come A-10 time. And Alyssa Korkenmeyer, as you know, is coming on like gangbusters. She's really playing well. Freshman from over on the Illinois side, who's doing a great job. And so it's exciting to watch the women, and I think we'll have a lot of excitement around them. As you know, women's basketball in this area is growing, and it's been great for us, and we're excited about that group.
Looking forward to your game today, 2 o'clock tip against New Hampshire. Chris May, the director of athletics at St. Louis University. It is always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, Tom. We'll see everybody in Chaffetz this afternoon.
All right, appreciate it. We'll have it on KMOX, a 1:45 tip, pregame, 2 o'clock tip right here on the home of the Billikens. When we come back, it's Blues CEO Chris Zimmerman. What a win for them yesterday down in Florida. That was unexpected. Back in a moment.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Back on the show from the Stifel Sports Studio, we are joined by Chris Zimmerman. The Blues CEO is with us. Chris, good morning. It's always great to have you on the show.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Good to be here.
Good to
Especially
be with
after
you.
A nice win last night.
Yeah, it was. How about the 1-0 win over Winnipeg? I told you, Audrey Ackerman, she's magic. We talked before the game. I said, don't worry, she's got this. And on her birthday, you got it done against the Jets. So now you're a game away from getting back to 500, 1 point out of the final playoff spot. The Blues are surging here. 6-2 win over Florida was very nice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, nothing's been easy, but, you know, picking up 5 out of 6 points and having the opportunity to go into Christmas at 500 in this league that's so ultra competitive, and with all the injuries we're battling through. The guys have shown a lot of character this week.
They have. And, you know, even the game against the Rangers, Jordan Binnington was very good. I think that that is the key to unlocking this thing, quite honestly, Chris. We can talk all day about everybody on that roster and coaching and strategy and attitude. If you have good goaltending, you can get on a run, which is obviously what you need right now.
Well, yeah, and we've got, you know, we think we really believe in the tandem of goaltenders we have, and we've seen it before, and we've obviously seen them make a difference in a number of key wins this year. It was nice to win a game by more than a goal last night and have the last minute or so feel a little bit more comfortable.
Isn't that better? Otto Stenberg had a nice game. So did Booch. So did Robert Thomas. And the Blues open it up against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers. Really nice win. Now, the last game before Christmas break is Monday at Tampa Bay, 6 o'clock on FanDuel Sports Network, and then you'll return to play Saturday night at Enterprise Center against Nashville. I always say those holiday crowds have a little extra in them because it's people from around the country in for the holidays who don't normally get to see their beloved St. Louis Blues. It's fun. I'll say the Winnipeg game had some great energy in it. It's impressive what's going on down there.
Yeah, and it's I always look forward to the games. We're typically at home the week after Christmas. I've got family that comes into town. They love getting to the games. It's so that week's great. We've got, you know, a game on the 27th, and then again versus Nashville, and then after that we've got another game on the 29th as well, and then just after New Year's we've got back-to-back games on the 2nd and 3rd. So it's a really great time when you have family in town to bring people together, some who may be longtime Blues fans. And my other favorite thing is hearing about people bringing their family and friends who haven't been hockey fans to their first game. That's always a great experience as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tell me about the KMOV and Matrix Midwest relationship. I note that you have not only these simulcasts going on this year, but KMOV First Alert 4 and Matrix Midwest, some over-the-air contests. How is that going for you?
Well, it's going really well. I mean, KMOV has proven to be a really valuable partner. You know, for us, the big opportunity is to continue to find more ways to reach more fans, to tell the stories of our team, of our players. KMOV is going to be carrying the Hall of Fame induction ceremony in mid-January. We're excited about that. All of the work that we're doing with KMOV is, you know, it's all part of trying to reach the biggest audience and just have as many different outlets to tell our story.
Absolutely. And finally, I mentioned the Bragging Rights game earlier in the show. That's tomorrow night at Enterprise Center. Enterprise is just a hub of activity for our city. And I don't know that it gets bigger, honestly, than the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which will be at Enterprise Center January 7th, a five-day event that will get international attention, Chris.
Yeah, well, and it's also, in addition to being the U.S. National Championships, it's also the Olympic Trials. And we have what appears to be one of the best groups of individuals competing for the U.S. on the figure skating side. I've been lucky enough to get to a couple of Winter Olympic Games. And although one wouldn't call me a regular figure skating fan, boy, getting ready for the Olympics, seeing these amazing athletes who are going to represent our country, people should really think about the opportunity to get down to Enterprise Center for that event. It will be really special.
You want to get those tickets, go to SkateSt.Louis2026.com. There are still tickets available. I think people assume that they're sold out. SkateSt.Louis2026.com if you want to snag those for a holiday gift. And we appreciate your time very much. I know that you're partnering with the Sports Commission and Explore St. Louis for the World Cup of Hockey to 2028. That is absolutely awesome to just think about if St. Louis could get that. So we appreciate all the efforts you and the Sports Commission and Explore St. Louis do on our behalf.
Hey, Tom, I just and listen, we at the Blues, we are so blessed. We're really grateful for our fans, the type of sports community you know that we have that gives us the opportunity to bring these types of events. Our fans in St. Louis are just exceptional. It does make us what I still believe is one of the great sports towns in North America. And as we go into the holiday, I just want to wish you and your listeners, but really the sports community and our community broadly, a very Merry Christmas.
Best to you and the Blues family as well. Thank you very much, Chris. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, be well.
That is the CEO of the St. Louis Blues, Chris Zimmerman, on KMOX. Great to have him. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back after the news, we will have more sports on a Sunday morning. For those of you listening on 1120 AM, you will be shifted to Chiefs pregame at the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. It is good to have you with us. Sports on a Sunday morning coming to you from downtown St. Louis. Coming up at 1:45, pregame of St. Louis University basketball and New Hampshire. The Billikens have a holiday break before hosting Principia December 28th, so this is your last chance to see them. Until then, and KMOX will have the games with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr., of course. Billikens off to the best start to a season since the 2011-12 team went 12-1. They are 10-1. They've scored 100 or more points in four games this year for the first time in school history, and they've only played 11 games. So we have that coming up for you here on KMOX. If you're tuning in for Chiefs pregame, we have it rolling right now on 1120 AM. We have a statement from Eli Drinkwitz on the hiring of Chip Lindsey as the Tigers' offensive coordinator. The Mizzou coach welcomes Lindsey, who brings 28 years of coaching experience to Missouri. Offensive coordinator stints at Michigan, North Carolina, Auburn, Arizona State, UCF, and Southern Miss. He was head coach at Troy from 2019 to 21. He has developed NFL quarterbacks Drake May, Jarrett Stidham, and Nick Mullins. And Drake May want to get your attention. Drinkwitz says, we're excited to welcome Chip Lindsey to Mizzou to lead our offense. He does a tremendous job of not only coaching and developing players, but organizing and implementing the offense. He's an excellent offensive mind with wide range of experience from high school to offensive coordinator to college head coach. Chip is a tremendous addition to our coaching staff and someone who can seamlessly transition into the job. That's from Eli Drinkwitz. Mizzou will play in Jacksonville against Virginia on December 27th in the Gator Bowl. As for Michigan, it was still up in the air last I saw as to whether Lindsey will be able to continue on with Michigan. But remember, he developed Bryce Underwood into the one of the most promising quarterbacks in the country. Underwood came in highly touted, of course. Let's do this. Some NFL picks and a big show this hour coming as we talk about St. Louis City SC and their new coaching hire, Chaim Bloom, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, not to mention Bernie Miklitz, the big dog, will be with us at 11:45. The great show lined up today. First, NFL picks. So let's take a look here.
Let's take a little look. By the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
I wish I could throw blocks like that. I mean, I'm a big guy, I guess, 6'2", 220, but not as big as that Tom Ackerman. That guy was some player for the Titans and the Saints. Here are the games for today. Still just can't believe what I saw last night with the Bears coming back and beating the Packers in overtime. You never know what happens in this league. Let's start with Buffalo at Cleveland. I know what's going to happen there. Buffalo's going to win. I'll tell you that. Now, can they win by more than 10.5 points? I think they can. 10.5, I hate the half there, but I'll do it anyway. Bills minus 10.5 at Cleveland today. I think they take care of business and they pull away and get it done. Chargers at Dallas. The Cowboys are out of the playoff picture, yet a 1-point favorite over the Chargers. Give me Chargers plus one at Dallas. Kansas City at Tennessee. I see there are some Chiefs fans down there in Nashville, even though the Chiefs are out of the race now. The Titans have been long out of the race for a while. They're 3-point dogs. The Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes, torn ACL. I'll still go Chiefs minus 3 down there. They're not going to lose that. Jets at New Orleans. Two really bad teams fighting here. Eventually, someone's going to get a number one pick in the draft. New Orleans is 4-10. Jets are 3-11. They're not the worst teams in the league. I'll go New Orleans minus 6.5 at home. Minnesota at the Giants. Both of those teams are out of it as well. The Giants do have the worst record in the NFL at 2-12. Vikings visiting them as a 3-point favorite. You know what? I'll take the Giants plus 3 just for fun. Tampa Bay and Carolina. Here we go. 2-7-7 teams in the NFC South. Doing battle in Charlotte. It's chilly there. Tampa Bay, a 3-point favorite. Give me the Panthers at home plus 3. They're going to do it today. Cincinnati at Miami. Cincinnati is a 4-point favorite against the Dolphins. Miami plus 4, please, in that game. Jacksonville at Denver is a good matchup. Denver's cruising right now at 12-2. They've won 11 in a row. They're 3.5-point favorites at home against the Jags. And I hate the half point again. I'm going to go, man, I can't. Yeah, I'm going to go Broncos minus 3.5. I almost took the dog there. I thought about that one hard. Atlanta at Arizona is a bad game. I'll go Cardinals plus 3 against the Falcons. There's some bad games in here, you know, just because they're out of it. Not this one, though. Pittsburgh at Detroit. Bears fans are going to be watching this one very closely. If the Steelers can pull off a win, the Bears are officially in. They will not, though. The Lions are going to win this game. Can they win it by 7.5? I'm going to go yes on that. I'm going to say they do win this thing by more than 7.5. Give me Lions minus 7.5 at home as they're in a desperate state. Las Vegas at Houston. The Texans are legit. Are they minus 14 against the Raiders legit? I'm going to say yes, they are. Raiders are horrendous. They got smoked in their last game by the Eagles, right? 31-0, won that last week. Texans minus 14 today, please. The Sunday night game, New England at Baltimore. The Patriots trying to shake off the loss to the Bills last week. And now here they are, plus 3.5 at Baltimore. No, I'm going to go Ravens at home, minus 3.5. I can't take the dog there. The Niners at the Colts with San Francisco on the road, minus 5 for the Monday night game. That'll be called by our very own Joe Buck. I'm going to go Colts. You like that? With the dramatic pause in the music? I'm going to go Colts plus 5 at home against the Niners. That's your NFL picks. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at St. Louis City SC's new coach, Yoan DeMay, and also hear from sporting director Corey Ray. With Drew Young, our producer, I'm Tom Ackerman. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We are back on Sports on a Sunday morning. We are the home of the Cardinals, the Billikens, the Chiefs, who are currently airing pregame on 1120 AM, and we keep the Billikens on 104.1 FM with a 145 pregame. When the Chiefs are over, 1120 will flip back to SLU basketball. For those of you listening on 104.1 FM and around the world on our Odyssey app, you are listening to Sports on a Sunday morning, and it is great to have you. We are also the home of St. Louis City SC. We carry all of their programming, and including our great reporters who follow the team. One of them is in studio with me, and that is producer Drew Young. We carry the games on Y98 FM, which is just down the hall here in our Odyssey studios. So we're very proud to say that we were in attendance for this week's announcement. The new coach of St. Louis City SC is 35-year-old Yoan DeMay. Most recently spent time with the Columbus Crew, MLS Cup champions, a couple of years ago. Spent time as the interim coach at FC Cincinnati. He was an assistant with the LA Galaxy. He has been around. In fact, he started coaching when he was 16 years old, coaching youth soccer. And the Frenchman is highly regarded. He is a rising star. He has MLS experience. And here is the sporting director, Corey Ray, discussing his new coach.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. Really exciting day, hopefully, for me personally, but also for the club and all the fans. Just want to do a quick recap of how we got here and just try to explain the process or remind you guys of some of the things that were mentioned not too long ago when I was here introducing myself. So approximately, I think around November 3rd, I was announced. Immediately, you know, sat with Diego and started to work on some ideas surrounding the strategy for the head coach hire. I had already pre-populated a list. I worked with Diego on ideas from his end, and then we started to create alignment on what this process could look like. A couple things that we need to understand about the process, you know, starting it in November, you know, kind of eliminates some of the time that would be required for me to spend a lot of time with people, getting to know them, understanding what they're all about. And so I was pretty strategic in terms of what that list looks like. And we had a long short list and then a short finalist list from that. I will say that I do know a lot of people, so it's not just because I didn't know someone necessarily that they wouldn't be included. I do have good contacts and ability to understand what people could be like. But I thought it was very important for this next phase of our kind of growth as a club to ensure that we had complete alignment from ownership to the president and Diego and myself and the head coach to create the stability that's required, in my experience, for long-term success and obviously for winning championships one day. So that is where we landed. We went through a multi-round interview process. We interviewed a number of different candidates, and it was clear throughout the process that we were in a good place and trying to get Johan on side. There was some challenges, obviously different opportunities that he had to work through in terms of potential suitors. But I'm very pleased to announce Johan as our next head coach. And I do want to just go through a couple of the different characteristics of why we chose him as well. So the first that I mentioned before is the person. So Johan possesses a really warm personality. He's a great human being. He's someone that I know and trust from our time together. And he's someone that I think will be a very clear communicator with not only you guys, but the staff and also the players. And I think that deep down is someone that I can trust will maintain a calm head in the good and the bad, and that we'll be able to work with, you know, in the good and the bad as well. I think that's very important for me day to day. I've always get told when you are appointing a coach, make sure it's someone that you can work with 23 of the 24 hours a day. And I think so far so good. Come back in 6 months, but I'm pretty sure we'll be okay as well. So that was very important. The second thing is the club. So in terms of the vision for the club and the sporting leadership, you know, we're looking for someone to sit and work alongside of all the other departments that we'll be building out. I mentioned, you know, the ability to incorporate and use data in their coaching preparations, understanding how to incorporate different opinions from scouts and external evaluators of talent, how to, use the performance department to the best of their abilities, incorporating that into his day-to-day preparations. And in general, creating a collaborative experience for all members of staff to highlight their skills at the table together was very important for us and obviously for the club. And then the last part is the coach, which I'm sure he will speak more on. But, you know, he's a very open-minded, modern thinker when it comes to the game. He's able to evolve with the trends and changes very quickly. He seeks out new ideas, but he has, in theory, a very clear and very strong idea of how he sees the game and how he wants to play. And I think that will translate very well, given the other skills I just spoke about, to the players and obviously the rest of the club.
That is Corey Ray, the sporting director. Strikes me as someone who is very thorough, and he goes with the man he's very comfortable with. A rising star, as I mentioned, in Johan de May. Here he is introducing himself to the audience at Energizer Park.
First off, like, really nice to see you all. I'm really excited to be here. I want to thank first and foremost, like, the ownership group, Diego and Corey, for bringing me in St. Louis. I'm really excited by the project, by the vision of the club. The vision that ownership has showed as well through the process has been really exciting for me. So I'm excited to be here. I also want to thank, like, the coaches I worked with. As you know, from my background, I've worked with a lot of coaches that have been mentors for me in those years. And obviously, I'll finish with my family and friends. As you know, like, we don't spend enough time with them, but they've always been there in the process of supporting me as well. So, like I was saying, I'm really excited to take that step to be here with you this morning and also to bring the vision of the club to fruition. That's my goal. That's why I'm here. I'm excited to work with Corey. What I've seen through the process is great people with a great vision, and also like a big like will for alignment, and that's what we're trying to bring here together. I'm excited to be a part of that, and I'm excited to get working with the players as well that I enjoyed speaking with this morning on the phone. So yes, really excited to be here, and looking forward to also spending some more time with you guys.
Awesome. We'll start with Tom, but we ask that you direct the question to Corey or Johan before you ask. Go ahead, Tom.
Johan, this is Tom Timmerman from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you.
Two things here. One, just how big of a challenge is this with a team that has missed the playoffs the last 2 years to get them back? And what does it mean to you as you've been an interim head coach, but to be an actual head coach?
So I'll answer those two questions. The first thing, I don't see that as a challenge. I see that as an opportunity. I think after 3 years at the club, like, of course, like, you learn a lot from, like, what you could have done differently or what you could have done better. And I think there has been a lot of learning, like, done at the club for the past 3 years. Today, I see that as an opportunity to turn the page on those 3 years and to learn from it and to start a new phase, a new chapter. So that's the way I want to approach it, with the staff, with the players as well. And that's why I'm excited. I'm excited about the opportunity. Speaking about me and my background a little bit, I'd say there is three things that helped me be where I am today. The first thing is I put myself through extensive education. I'm someone that's always seek for progress, try to improve, try to think outside the box and how I can get better. I've done my pro license like 5 years ago coming out of Cincinnati, so I've really put a lot into my education. The second thing is I've experienced like a lot in the past 10 years, like whether as an assistant coach, as an interim head coach, as a head coach in USL Championship. Those experiences have helped me get an insight on like what it takes to win. I've been part of like moments that were very difficult in Cincinnati, but also very successful moments in the past few years. So I've had like also some incredible insights on what it takes when it comes to winning. And the last thing, I mentioned it in the intro, is also the mentorship. I've worked with incredible coaches. The last in date was Wilfred Nancy. Worked with Greg Vanney as well very closely, and Mike Ivaras with the youth national team. Those coaches have also helped shape my view of the game and how I want to approach it in that opportunity. So that's how I feel strongly about like what's to come and about the project that we're running.
And a new set of players to introduce himself to. Here is Drew Young asking a question on that.
How do you start to build your relationship with players?
I started today by calling everyone. So I'm like four players away from having like everybody on the phone like today. So like for me, it's the first step. Like I want to connect as quickly as possible. I think it's like getting to know them like on a personal level. This is part of like the things that are important to me. I think before working with the players, you're working with human being. Before working with staff, you're working with human beings. So can we understand like the human piece before understanding the player? I think that will help us also push those guys like on a daily basis. So started today, trying to get everybody on the phone, like individually, get to understand where they're at, if they're enjoying their time away as well, giving them a feeling of like what environment they will go back to in January. And then of course it's going to be about like January, hitting the ground running with those guys. Like I'm looking forward to the first training session, to the first meetings, to the first interaction. Like I'm really excited to start that collaboration also with the players, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
And we are looking forward to it as well. That is Yoan DeMay with Corey Ray, the coach and sporting director for St. Louis City SC. A new era is underway.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
The new president of baseball operations for the Cardinals is Chaim Bloom. He's been busy. We'll talk to him next on KMOX. Rolling right along here at 11:33, joined by the Cardinals president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom. Always great to visit with you. How are you, Chaim?
I'm doing all right. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Last week when we talked, it wasn't quite official yet. It wasn't finalized, so we couldn't have you comment on the show. I know you have recently with reporters, but give us your thoughts, if you would, on the acquisition of Dustin May, who gets himself a one-year deal with the Cardinals with a mutual option for 2027.
Yeah, happy to, and we're really excited to have him here. This is someone who obviously has had a lot of ups and downs in his career and battled a bunch of injuries and even some stuff off the field, as you know, and has been well documented that we feel, even coming back from having had to have emergency surgery, for our listeners who don't know, he was rehabbing from Tommy John in 2024, suffered an esophagus tear, had to have emergency thoracic surgery really to save his life, and lost a tremendous amount of weight. To come back and be able to post like he did last year, put a career high up in innings. We've seen the upside with him throughout the course of his career with the Dodgers. Very, very talented, and a year further removed from that, we're excited to come in here and have him as part of our rotation, hopefully help out the whole crew with his presence and also put up a great season for us in St. Louis.
This certainly sounds like somebody that you did so much research on when it comes to the data. We know that the spin of his pitches is as good as you'll find, but also the person, and you just mentioned it. The fact that he has all of that experience, the ups, the downs of a baseball career, and he's only 28, that has to be a plus for you.
Yeah, very much so. Usually when you're looking in free agency, you tend to get players who are older than that. And there's nothing wrong with those guys. Obviously, they can still be very talented and they can still provide a lot of leadership. But when you do get younger free agents, oftentimes there's just more upside with those guys, and especially someone with the career circumstances of Dustin. You mentioned all the work that we did on him. That's important to do on any player you consider acquiring, obviously. Just helps you get a better idea of what you might be getting into, what the range of outcomes is, and a little more confidence in investing in someone, knowing, you know, some of the things that could happen with them based on all the work you do.
What's next on the priority list for the St. Louis Cardinals, Chaim Bloom, as you have a starter in place for your rotation?
Yeah, well, we continue to be very active in conversations, certainly on the trade front, and also continue to be in touch with a number of free agents. You know, I expect as the offseason goes on, whether before the holidays, after the holidays, we do still want to continue to add to this club. You know, I've mentioned in the past our priority on amassing pitching depth. That's not something that ends just with the trade we made with Sonny or with this signing in May. We want to keep doing that throughout the winter, and we'll keep looking at different ways to do that. And, you know, certainly stay active talking to other clubs about trades and seeing if there's ways that we can continue to add young talent to our core.
We won't ask you, of course, to divulge trade talks. We all know the names that have been thrown out there, players that would be attractive to other teams. My question is this. I know that you're looking for pitching depth. Is there a certain area of offense or defense, for that matter, that you feel like you need as an organization right now? Are you searching for a certain type of player in that area?
Well, you know what, when you're trying to build for the long haul, you don't want to walk past any type of talent, even if it might not be the perfect immediate fit, you know, especially if you're talking about prospects. A lot can change by the time those guys get to the big leagues, and so you don't want to walk past talent in any form. But certainly, you know, as we look at this club, like I said, pitching really on both sides of it, the rotation and the bullpen. And then, you know, in terms of position players, it's nice to have some versatility with this group to where you can accommodate different types of players. Obviously, a lot has been made of lineup balance and being a little more left-handed than you'd like. But that said, we did that with a lot of really good players that we value. So, you know, I do think in general, probably a right-handed hitter fits us a little bit better than a left-handed hitter. But talent's talent, and we're not going to walk past anybody who we think can help us.
What's the latest in the recovery on some of your players that had off-season procedures? Brendan Donovan, Mason Wynn, we heard last time we talked to him, he was already like out there jogging after he won the Gold Glove. Not to mention, if you could, Lars Nootbaar and Ivan Herrera. All of them had some work done as the season came to a close.
Yes, and all those guys are on track and doing well. Mason, as you mentioned, has made a really, really good recovery from that cleanup. Donnie's surgery, if it happens during the season, it costs you, somewhere between, months and 2 months. But obviously in the off season, we have plenty of time, and he's really already into the phase of things where he's going to be able to have a normal off season. And the other two guys are coming along. Yvonne's rehab is progressing just as planned. He's putting in plenty of work, as I had a chance to talk to a bunch of folks about at the winter meetings, putting in plenty of work, not just to get his arm right, but also to study up on some of the things that he wants to be able to do in order to be as good as he can be behind the plate. And Newt is killing it. He's doing wonderfully with his rehab. We actually just had a member of our medical staff do an in-person checkup with him to see how that rehab's coming along. He's moving around great, really progressing well from this.
What's been your read on Nootbaar the last 2 years you've been in this organization? I mean, we all know what the ceiling feels like. It feels high. He's got this freakish athletic ability. How do you see Lars Nootbaar?
Yeah, you summed it up. You know, he will show you for stretches, obviously everything you'd want to see for an impact player. The difficulty with him has been the consistency of maintaining that throughout an entire season and obviously staying on the field. And those two things probably have some relation to each other. But when you look at, his ability at his best, and that's part of what we hope this surgery gets him back to contribute on defense and move around well in the outfield. And then at the plate, somebody who sees the ball as well as he does and has the ability to hit it as hard as he does, that's a really dangerous combination. So it's really about putting it all together and then sustaining that for 6, 7, 8 months.
I know I ask you this every single time, but it's good to sort of get a gauge on how things are moving along here. Is there urgency to get a trade done immediately? Are you willing to wait until after the holidays? Are you okay with that? How are the Cardinals looking right now in terms of building this roster via trade?
I'd love to be able to get something done before the holidays. There have been very active conversations throughout the industry and with us as well, and it'd be great to be able to do that. I think just for the sake of continuing to move along in our offseason, as you mentioned. Now, that said, there's no formal deadline. There's nothing. There's really no difference ultimately when you get to February and March between having done it now or having done it in a couple weeks. Obviously, these things oftentimes, these conversations move along at their own pace. And, things don't happen until everybody involved is ready for them to happen. But it would be really nice to get something done before the holidays. And in general, I feel like anytime you have a chance to make a move, it's because you, and obviously if it's a trade at other clubs, everybody feels this is the best thing for their organization. So if we do get something done, it'll be because we thought it was the right thing for the Cardinals, and we'll feel good about that.
Let me throw this one at you. And again, I don't know if this one is official yet, but I saw the report on that 2-year, $34 million deal this morning for Murakami, the Japanese free agent. I would ask you a wider question. In international scouting, the game, has it gone global? What have you seen in particular there, how things have grown in Japan and how that affects the way you scout and the way you see this game?
Yeah, well, without getting into any specific player, because obviously I shouldn't, I don't think it's right to comment on those rumors. And that potential news. But in general, I think increasingly, obviously, the more players that have success and whose success you can predict through a combination of just looking what they've done in those overseas leagues and then being able to scout them and understand a lot of things about them, the more aggressive you can be as an industry. And obviously, it makes it a more and more viable option for those players to want to come over here. Always a personal decision, but whether it's guys who are foreign professionals who come over for their first taste of Major League Baseball to try to compete here. And increasingly also, we've had a few of them in this organization, obviously, having guys who may establish themselves, really take their games to a new level American guys pitching over there. And when that happens, those guys are also very interesting. There's an added layer of complexity, obviously understanding how things might translate in a different environment, different competition, different baseball. But like I mentioned, the more that do it, the more you can see how that typically translates and the more you can invest with confidence.
Chaim, I hope you and your family are having a wonderful holiday. We wish you the very best. We love catching up with you and talking ball on these Sundays. So thanks for making time for us.
Well, likewise, and same to you and for all of our listeners who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas, and have a wonderful week.
Best to you. Chaim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with us on KMOX. Bernie Miklas is next, right here on 104.1 FM. Good visit with Chaim Bloom last segment. We're joined now by Bernie Miklas, who joins us by way of Saliga Heating and Cooling, saligaheatingandcooling.com. Saliga Heating and Cooling, by the way, is a Daikin dealer. What's up, Bernie? How are you?
I'm doing good and looking forward to the holidays like everybody else.
So. Yeah, same. I'm ready to shut it down, at least for Christmas Day. I love Christmas Day. It's just so nice to relax. Just a quick recap of what Chaim said last segment. They're very active in conversation, certainly on the trade front. They are in touch with a number of free agents. Then I asked him if he's trying to get a deal done before the holidays, and he said yes, they would love to get something done before the holidays. They want to make some moves here and then get, you know, hit the ground running come January. So I find that interesting, and certainly, you know, I would say, without naming them, he's not going to tell us who he's trading, but at the top of the list has to be Brendan Donovan and probably Jojo Romero, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they probably got the most interest of any Cardinals players. You know, and then we could say, of course, Contreras, there's interest in him, but he's got the no trade. So that kind of that would put him a little bit behind the other two simply because there's a potential complication. And, you know, the Nolan Arenado thing is in its own separate category. I was intrigued by some reports that the Dodgers want to talk about Lars Nootbaar. And I understand that the Dodgers have always liked him, and they would be an organization because they got so much depth that they wouldn't really care that much if he wasn't ready, you know, by opening day, you know, if after that double heel surgery. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. I would say there's a little more of a chance of maybe Nootbaar being traded than I thought. And that's going by media reports, but the media reports were from some credible people. So that's why I pay attention to a little bit.
He's saying the praises of Nootbaar. When I asked about Lars rehab, he said Noot is killing it right now. So obviously that raises the value of any trade discussion as well.
Right. And so he's got the goods. I mean, he's probably got more tradable pieces that teams want than anybody on the market this winter. And I think, you know, for the longest time, Tom, as you know, there was only one trade, you know, and that was when the Mets said Brandon Nimmo to Texas for Marcus Semien. And there were no other notable trades for like weeks. And then the logjam broke this week. You know, there were some big deals, like that three-way trade with the Astros and Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, and the Pirates got better through that trade. So teams are starting to – I think front offices want to get some stuff done by, you know, New Year's Eve or so, if not sooner. So, but I think once some of these deals started to fly, I think it loosens everybody up, and so we'll see. But, you know, Chaim, that's why I don't – yeah, I know there's been some grumbling about, well, he hasn't made the trade. When's he going to make the trade? Well, if there's – let me put it conservatively. If there's 10 teams interested in Brendan Donovan, why wouldn't Chaim Bloom take his time to get the best offer that he can when he's talking to all these teams? And the other thing, I think some teams are holding out to see what Arizona does with Ketel Marte. He'll be traded, but – we don't know where he's going to be traded, but it also could influence Brendan Donovan's market. So these things don't happen in 30 seconds, you know, and I think it's good for all of us to be patient.
Absolutely right. I always like to get your reaction to breaking news. And earlier this morning, Pete Thamel had it first. Now Mizzou has made it official that the Tigers have hired Chip Lindsey as their offensive coordinator. He was at Michigan most recently. But Bernie, he's been around a lot longer than I thought, actually. North Carolina, Auburn, Arizona State, UCF, Southern Miss. So he's seen a lot of different programs. And the thing that jumps out at me was he was there helping develop Drake May, who we all have seen has become a fantastic quarterback in the NFL and a MVP candidate, really, when he was at North Carolina.
The one thing about Chip Lindsey, and I couldn't sit here and fake it and tell you what kind of offense he likes to run, but all I know is that he's a highly regarded guy, and he's had programs wanting to hire him. You know, he's moved around a little bit, not because he was doing a bad job, but because people respect him. So I think that's a good move. I really do, because he's well known for his offenses, and you make a great point about Drake May. I'll have to do a little bit of reading about this today as far as some of the other things he's done, but I like it. That's a good hire.
Yeah, I do too.
Know, and the other thing I like about it, you know, with all this stuff going to Michigan, some of the national guys keep saying, well, they might turn to Drinkwitz. You know, they might turn to Drinkwitz. And we've heard that a lot. Listen, Drink just hired a guy. I forget his name, and I apologize. He basically hired the guy to be the president of, like, football operations. You know, someone's coordinate all the recruiting and all of it, NIL and everything else. It's a huge, huge job. And the guy left Tennessee to go to Mizzou. Now Drink has hired Chip Lindsey as his offensive coordinator, which is a big hire. So that tells me I didn't think Drink was going anywhere, you know, after he signed the contract extension. But that tells me he's definitely not going anywhere. And the other point is, why the heck would anyone want to go to Michigan right now?
No.
I mean, they don't even have a full-time university to president. The athletic director is inevitably going to get sacked. So he wouldn't even know who he was working for. There's no alignment there. I mean, Michigan's a big job, but at this moment in time, with all the corruption and everything else, at this moment in time, the job stinks. You know, for someone to leave a place where he's happy to take a chance of falling into that cesspool. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great for a hotshot who wants to come in and wear the Michigan colors and coach Michigan. I mean, it's cool. Yeah, I totally get that. But for a guy who's established like Eli Drinkwitz, no thank you. I mean, plus he's got a Heisman candidate coming back at running back. I mean, Ahmad Hardy is awesome.
You know, he'd probably get more money and he'd have more resources. But the one thing I would say to that is, okay, Michigan won the national championship in what was it, 2023? Okay, with Harbaugh, that was great. How long did that take him with all those great resources and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, that they cheated to win that. So, and before that, when did Michigan win a national championship? So I kind of laugh at this stuff, because you would think Michigan was winning a national championship every 3 years or something. It's actually been spaced out for quite a long time. I'm glad Drake's going to stay, but I wish everybody else nationally would shut up about it.
Right? I agree. While we're on college football, a minute left, your gut feeling, you look at these eight teams still standing. Who's got the best shot? Maybe give me two or three teams you think could take it.
Well, you know, Indiana's the best team I've seen this year. And I would say Ohio State's a very close second, which was reflected by their game when they played. I think Georgia might be, in terms of a really good team's form, like getting better and better and better and better. I think Georgia's very dangerous. You know, I think Georgia's capable of beating anybody. I also think a team that a lot of people are sleeping on is Texas Tech. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas Tech beats Oregon, quite frankly. I really wouldn't. I mean, I think Texas Tech's got an outstanding defense. Then the other thing is Miami. They got a great defense, and the coach is finally getting out of the way and not screwing games up. So they're really, really good. And gosh, can they run the ball. So there's a lot of really dangerous teams, and I think Alabama's dangerous too, because if you look at Kalen DeBoer, they got five top 10 wins this season. And I know that they pooped the bed a couple times, or really one time. But if you look, you go back to his time at University of Washington, I mean, he's like 16-4 as a ranked team playing another ranked team. And that's the best record in the country among coaches that have at least 10 of those games, ranked versus ranked. And he's also 10-4 as an outright underdog. My point is, no one at Indiana is taking Alabama lightly. I'm not implying that. But I'm just saying that, you know, DeBoer doesn't get enough credit from Alabama fans. I mean, they expect to be Nick Saban. You know, he wasn't going to come in and dominate like that right away. He's won a lot of big games under pressure, though.
I agree with you. And they're coming into the Rose Bowl very confident. It'll be an interesting couple of days, December 31st, January 1st. Bernie Miklas, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great, great day.
All right, you too, pal. Love you. Take care.
Love you, man. We will see you soon. I'll see you tomorrow morning, Total Information AM on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.